Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find all these radio programs and MP3 files and also some Bible videos that are 30 minutes in length, and also you will find many other resources that will aid you and help you in your study of God's Word. You'll also find out some information about us. Please go out and take a look. At the end of this broadcast, we'll give you the regular meeting times of our Bible study periods and worship periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any or all of these services. You'll always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible and an open mind and help us show you how you need God in your life and you have a relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ. We have been studying about the subject of the book of Hebrews. We are looking at verse number 2 of chapter number 6 and talking about some elementary principles. We are now going to discuss and of eternal judgments. You know, we need to understand that some of God's judgments are temporal for now. Let me give you a couple of examples. God made a judgment against the world in Genesis chapter 6 through 9. When he looked down and saw that the world's heart was evil continually, man was always thinking evil and doing evil, it repented him that he had made man, and he determined that he was going to destroy man from which he created. Now, he destroyed the world with a flood. He destroyed every person that was living on the earth and all things that drew the breath of life, except the 8 souls and the animals that were in the ark. God made a judgment. Now, that wasn't a permanent judgment because Noah and his family were saved and the animals were saved. And when he came out of the ark almost a little over a year later, he started over and the world was replenished and repopulated. But God has also made judgments along the line. He made judgments against the nation of Israel. We read in the period of Bible history that before, when the kingdom divided, it divided between Israel and Judah. Why? Because after the death of Solomon, the people of God had become unfaithful. Solomon had allowed his wives to turn him away from God. And because of that, God was going to bring a division and a two different nations from one. And it was going to be divided because God was making a judgment against the sins of those in the days of the United Kingdom. But the two nations, Israel and Judah, one lasted for 205 years and one lasted an additional 135 years. But God made judgments against both those nations. He made a judgment against the Northern Kingdom and in 722 BC and put them in Assyrian captivity. He made another judgment against the Judah nation and put them in Babylonian captivity in 596 BC. And so you see, God made judgments, but they were temporal judgments because 70 years later, God allowed the nation of Judah and the Jews that were willing to come out of captivity and rebuild the gates and the walls of Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple and to come back to their homeland. But then God made a more permanent judgment against Judaism and against Jerusalem in AD 70 when Judaism, for all practical purpose, was destroyed with the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the genealogy records, that now God made a permanent end to those things in Judah. And so all along, God has made temporary judgments. But there are some things that God is going to do which are permanent. There was one other temporary judgment that I want to point out to you that we will study later on in our study of Hebrews, and it's in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 6. And it talks about the rebuking and the chastening of the Lord. And the scripture tells us, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you then endure chastening, God deals with you as sons, for what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, then you would be all become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not be much more readily in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chasten us as it seemed best to them. But he was for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but peaceful, painful. But nevertheless, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of repentance, of righteousness, to those who are being trained by it. You see, God gives temporary rebukes because of our sin. And he corrects us through his word, and he chastens us that we must repent and we must cease that sin if we want to be found acceptable to him. But there are eternal judgments, and those eternal judgments are judgments that are coming. We have records of this in many passages of Scripture, but we're just going to focus upon three. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, the Scripture says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." We see in this passage that we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in this life. That is final judgment. That's a judgment that has an eternal consequence, because it's going to be the final judgment, and it will determine whether we spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. We also have two glimpses of the judgment in the Scriptures, and this is in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 31 through verse number 46. And in these verses, we get a glimpse into the judgment scene where we are going to be judged when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, and then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. Now, in this account, if you continue reading to the end of the chapter, he's going to divide the sheep and the goats. The sheep are going to be on the right side, and the goats are going to be on the left. And he's going to use, as an example in our text, our relationships with what we did in our relationships and how we handled them in our opportunities to help other people. These are going to be part of the standard by which we're going to be judged by. And we're either going to gain eternal life or we're going to gain eternal condemnation, depending on how we did in our opportunities that God presented us with to help others, whether we helped them or whether we did not help them. And then we see in Revelation chapter 20, and we're going to read verse 11 through 15, and this is the other glimpse of the final judgment. "And then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works that were written in the books. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged, each one, according to their works. And the death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Now you noticed in this passage, it talks about the great white throne scene, where we'll be in front of the throne of God in order to give account of the life that we live. And the books were opened. Now those who lived under the patriarchal age are not going to be judged by the law of Christ or the law of Moses. They're going to be judged by the law, the patriarchal law. And the Mosaic covenant people are going to be judged by the Mosaic covenant, and those who have lived under the law of Christ are going to be judged by the law of Christ. But there's going to be another set of books that are open. The other book that's going to be open is the book about the record of our life and what kind of decision we made, what choices we made, what did we determine to do with our life, how did we choose to live it, how did we choose to do the things that God commanded us to do. Those are personal things that are on our ledger that we have put there by our choices and our decisions. And so that book is going to be open, and it's going to be compared to the standard by which we will be judged. But there's one other book that's of great importance, and that is the Book of Lot. That is the book that your name goes in when you become part of God's family. When you become a Christian and you obey the gospel, your name goes into that book. But your name could also be removed from that book by your disobedience or by you going back into the pathways of sin and going back to the world, and then he can take your name out of it just like he added it. And when we are judged, if our name is not in that book and we are not registered with the saved, then we're going to be cast into the abyss with death and Hades and with the devil and his angels to be separated from God forever. That is final judgment. But those who have been faithful and done the Lord's will, he's going to usher them into heaven to be with him in his home. Now, this is a final judgment, but it is a final judgment, and so it is one of the eternal judgments. That is the eternal judgment that the writer is talking about in Hebrews. There is only going to be one eternal judgment that has eternal consequences, and that's the one that all men will face at the end of time. When the world ends and when the Lord returns, this world's going up in smoke, according to 2 Peter 3 and verse 4 through 10. And then we're going to be brought before the judge to give an account of the life that we lived. Our body is going to come out of the grave in the resurrection. Our spirits are going to come out of the Hadean realm. We're going to get a spiritual body, and that spiritual body is going to stand before God and give an account of the things done on the earth and the body that we were given by God. And we're going to be judged whether we were righteous or unrighteous, whether we were good or evil, and whether we were faithful or unfaithful. And the determination where we will spend eternity is determined by where we come out in that judgment. And so that is an eternal judgment. And men can scoff at it, they can laugh at it, they can mock it. But in the end, every person who ever lived on the earth or whoever will live on the earth is going to have a day when he is going to give an account of his life before God, of his choices, of his decisions, of what he did with his life and how he treated God and whether he served God in this life or whether he rejected him. And according to what that judgment comes out, that's going to be an eternal judgment. Because we're going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell based on that eternal judgment. Now, in our passage today in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 2, these are the end of elementary principle. The eternal judgment is something that we all need to be concerned about. And we need to be making good decisions that when that day comes, that we will be found in the book of life and our not only would our name be in the book of life, but our life would mesh up and line up with the standard of what we will be judged by the law of Christ that we lived under. Question, are you ready for that judgment? If you were to be judged today by how you've lived your life, by the choices and decisions you made, where would you spend eternity? Dear listener, give sober thought and reflection to that, because eternity is for a long, long